Amen. Let's continue from where we stopped. We were in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to continue now from there, verse 14. We'll just review if it is necessary to use to continue to connect to the point where we are right now. So therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, since you use the word therefore, let's step backwards a bit and see what he means when he says therefore. Now, the idea now behind this is that before now, we have spoken about the fact that all the children of Israel were baptized. They went through some spiritual experiences, of course, as a type. And even despite that, they were still laid low. They were still buried in the wilderness. They still died in the wilderness because they did what was not pleasing to God. And I remember I emphasized the fact that, one, the basic thing, the first line is what we crave, all right? Now, these things happen as examples for us that we should not crave evil things as they also craved. And that progressed to other things. He said, therefore, my beloved, verse 14, now flee from idolatry, because we have seen the danger. I ended last time by talking about the fear of God. He said, I speak as to wise men, you judge what I say. Now, he said, it's not the cup of blessing which we bless is sharing in the blood of Christ. It's not the bread which we break is sharing in the body of Christ. Now, he's going into another thing now, all right? In fact, if I had to divide it, I'll put verse 14 with verse 13, that is in the same paragraph, and then now go on to another thing. We'll see what he's talking about. Now, he's talking about idols and eating food sacrificed to idols. He said, when we share the cup of blessing, all right, we're sharing the cup of Christ. It's not the bread which we break, that's at the communion, that is sharing in the body of Christ. Since there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Look at the nation Israel. Are not those who eat the sacrifices sharers in the altar? What do I mean then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or that an idol is anything? No, but I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God, and I do not want you to become sharers in demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. He said, or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? We are not stronger than he, are we? Now, let me just explain something here, because if you don't understand the sense, it will be like a contradiction to what he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, which we studied in previous times. In that 1 Corinthians chapter 8, he said that the idol is nothing. Eating food sacrificed to idol really doesn't mean anything. And then now in this chapter 10, he's now explaining that people should be careful so that they do not partake in the sharing of food sacrificed to demons. All right? Now, it will appear, if you read the two of them without really using good understanding to analyze it, you wonder whether the fellow is confused concerning what he's saying. And then if you want to be contentious sometimes, you can sit on anyone. You understand? I remember when somebody said that is an Islamic, Kabir. That's the one they sacrifice a goat or a ram or whatever. So that it's wrong for Christians to eat it. And I don't want to tell you the camp I belong to. So that I guess some people say that no, there's nothing wrong with it. Some say there's something wrong with it, you know. It's demon worship. Now, anybody who wants to be contentious can sit on anyone. You can say that, all right, Paul said they are sacrificing to Allah, who is not God, the way we understand whom God is. And therefore, you are becoming a sharer, all right, if you eat of it. Now, but the point is that misunderstanding is only when we don't get the point Paul was trying to make. First, he was talking about food, absolutely. That is, this meat, whoever is sacrificed to, is still meat. And we can eat meat. That is the substance. But here, he's not talking about the meat, first of all, but he's talking about the fellowship. Now, see, because you see the way he introduced it. He said, it's not the cup of blessing which we bless, a sharing in the blood of Christ. It's not the bread which we break, a sharing in the body. Since there is one bread, and we all partake of the one bread. Now, what he's explaining is that here you are dealing with a fellowship, a communion. Are you getting my point? And so, if I like the way we use the word, you know, in Christianity, communion. All right? You are sharing of the same thing. Now, what you do, all right, with material, I described that, again, I think it's in that book, Great Faith Can Be or something, but I've explained it before, about the relationship between what is outside physically and how it connects with the spirit. That what somebody does with his body affects what goes on in his or her spirit. Now, so what he's explaining here is something along that line. That is, when we are eating, we're actually making statements concerning what we are doing. I don't know whether you get my point. You know, I remember I saw a movie many years ago. True story, actually. That's what interested me. About a cult. They call them the deceivers in India. And they are actually thieves, you know. They are actually thieves. But they're actually a real cult. They worship a god called Kali, who they claim told them to kill people and take all their goods. And they were actually a cult. Now, I noticed something there. It's a true story, not fiction at all. It's a true story. I noticed that before they go for operations, they used to have communion. Literally. I forgot what they used to use, but among the things they would give them, I think they used to lace it with heroin. Now, you think it's just drug influence. Actually, it's not just drug influence. It's actually they are taking in the spirits of the god Kali they claim to be worshipping. Are you getting my point? If you take that same food that they finished sharing there and you went elsewhere, that food has lost the potency. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It has. Because what happens is that it's no longer part of the communion. Let's assume now that somebody who's hungry, he passes by where Christians had communion and they ate bread that they left over. It wouldn't make any difference. It's the atmosphere under which the people were sharing the bread that gave it a spiritual significance. Are you getting the point I'm making? So what Paul was describing here is that people should be careful that they do not sit down and participate in sacrifices to idols. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, if... Look at the way he said it. He said, I say that the things that Gentiles sacrifice, the sacrifice to demons, we're talking about the process of sacrificing now, and not to God, and I do not want you to become sharers in demons. Now, he said, we cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of the Lord and the table of demons. He was talking about, you know, communion. Do you get my point? Now, listen to this point. You know, I said something some time ago that we had a couple's end of year party in church, and that the cost, you know, some people said, no, that music that was played was not good. It was Christian music and then some secular music and all of that, you know. And people were just dancing and having a nice night. It was the end of year party. Only couples there. Everybody with his wife. Church, all of us from the same church. I know, because of all the discussion we had afterwards, I really started thinking. Now, you may say that the music in itself is nothing. That is true. And I personally believe it. Do you understand? But do you know, all right? You can play one music here and I will dance with my wife there. Then you take it and go somewhere else and I will refuse. I don't know whether you get the point. And that's what I want to understand. Even if you decide to get to the place and play Kirk Franklin, the atmosphere is different. No, you must get the point. You know, what happens is that people sit on, okay, what is he saying? A lot of people, one man, let me not mention his name, lest the Lord get angry with me. He's very famous. If you list 10 top Nigerian musicians, Christian musicians, you list him as, in fact, I dare to say he will fall within the top 5. But from the first day I heard this guy sing, I told my wife, this guy is not born again. All this one is money. I said it from the beginning. I said, this fellow, he doesn't believe in God. Forget all of this one. He sings pure gospel. Doesn't sing anything but gospel. We worship you. Oh, hallelujah. We worship you. I say, he's lying. This guy doesn't believe in God. If I sing some of his songs for you, it's in every church. Everybody digs down to this song. I said, this guy, forget all this one he's doing. This is business. I don't want to tell you his name. If I told you, you'd be shocked. If you count 5 top Christian musicians, you probably will insert his name among one of them. I said this guy to my wife. Then later on, some things happened and we heard this about it. I said, baby, come. Did I not tell you that this guy is not a Christian? That all this one of... Oh, you know, you sing, oh God, you have been so good. And people were dancing, hallelujah. Sing unto the Lord, we worship him from our spirit. He goes to church. It's called Christianese. First time I encountered the young man, maybe that's why I was so sure. I said, this guy, he's very skilled, all right? When it comes to singing, instruments, he's skilled. and I was exposed to a good market, Christian market. And I can say boldly, if you go born again along the line, you never, Jesus only has about one quarter of his life. The other two, three quarters sitting in pocket. Now I'm bringing something. But you see, you may get to now a church and they're playing that kind of music, his music. And you actually worship God properly. I'm serious. You will. No, really. Because all this one that Pastor Banky, the guy is not born again. Do you know? Does it concern you? It's only if you've now heard, he said, Pastor Banky must know what he's saying. So this guy, I'm not dancing to this music. When he starts playing, he just shut down. Say, play something else. Now, I'm trying to bring out something. It's atmosphere. That's the difference. Now, if you take some of this nice, real gospel music, maybe something like Asu Eki or Ken Franklin, I believe those guys are seriously born again. It's not just business. You understand my point? How you know it's not just business? Some of people, you look at their track record. Now, this is just by the way, so that we can all learn. This is how we judge things. A man just wakes up one day, says his name is T.B. Joshua. That is a man of God. You need to be stupid to believe he's a man of God. You have to ask yourself, where were you before? You know, it's a simple question. Before you became pastor of this church, that's drawing thousands of people, where were you? You are not a child. You are not 10. It's not as if you are filled with the Holy Ghost from your mother's womb. You should have been somewhere. Who taught you the word of God before? Where did you give your life to Christ? Where were you fellowshipping? Who was the man of God who taught you? You know, we're not trying to use your credentials to validate what you are doing necessarily. But we're trying to say that if you don't have a history, you're probably lying. You're possibly lying. You just appear one day. We never heard of you. Of course, you are healing the sick, raising the dead. Is that the person? Go and ask Moses. When he entered into Egypt, you do your own miracle of God. The Egyptian said, wait, is it a snake? Do you want cobra or python? Which one? I said, look at him, he's throwing down snake. They will throw that iroko tree, it will turn to an anaconda for you. You want magic. They give you magic. Now, you're getting my point. So somebody healed the sick. He said, look, that doesn't mean anything. The Egyptians were doing it. It's not today. So it doesn't mean you're a man of God. I'm not going to bring out some. Just by the way, that's one of the things you use to judge things in life, you know? You say, oh boy, where were you? Name two Christians who can say, we knew this guy 2 years before he began this church, and he was a good Christian. Name two. He just appear from nowhere. And the blind people will say that he's a man of God. They come and get away, my friend. The Lord is good, Joe. So the point I'm making is that, so let's see that on the main judge. So I'm talking about the issue of atmosphere. So you take the good music, in quote, and you go there, enter into a disco hall, and people are jamming, and you know, they are skimpily dressed. There is a spirit of iniquity in the air. No matter the music you play, it's a spirit of iniquity. Let me tell you something. Dance is, don't let me digress too much. Dance is not exactly innocent all the time. No, it's not. Things that people say on that, look, I told you before, people they thought Fela was a crazy man. I said, Fela was a literal idol worshiper. We thought he was just crazy. He would go there, everybody, you know, everybody is swaying like this. If you have read around a bit and seen things, those are the ways by which they conjure up spirits. I'm telling the truth. Let me tell you, one of the things that affect, that's what I taught in that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. I was trying to explain to people. You don't just wake up one morning and say, I want to have great faith. There are things you do that set you up for a kind of spiritual lifestyle. That's the one we're in school. When this gospel of God looks at the heart, God looks at the heart, God looks at the heart, when it came out, so that Christians were so irresponsible. You see brothers going around with their jerry calls. Say, God looks at the heart. The women wear part of the fellowship. God looks at their heart. Well, some of the things that God looked at their heart they used to do then that was amazing to us was that young men and women will go to parties. God only looks at the heart. In my heart, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that, you know, the kind of place I'm found doesn't change. Is a lie. You know, you have been deceived. God said it simply. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Now, I'm not going to say something. You go to places, you open yourself up to evil spirits. That's what you are doing. You know, I'm trying to make out something. You are uniting with the people in spirit. The music they play there is not the issue. If you like, let them play wrong canoli. Once you enter the place and it's a jamming zone, have you not noticed? You've seen movies, you've been to parties, you've seen things. How come the lights always blink? They are always strange colors. Whether it's in London or in Nigeria or in Yugoslavia, it's always the same thing. There was a church I attended. My wife and I went for a special man of God came then. So, no. We're not married that time. Yes, it was shortly before. But you remember a man now that we followed to. Remember my friend Emma? Uh-huh. She came one day, invited us. Okay, it was Topsy and I that went. We went for a meeting. The preacher came from overseas. Now, at this point, the church where they came to preach, they met in a nightclub. All right? That was where they met. You know, they called Peak Nightclub, somewhere in Surulere in Lagos. And, you know, it's on the top floor of the building. You know, after we enter the place, as God is my witness. Now, we went for church. But obviously, demons use this place after we go. They park out when we are coming. I just went to church. When the church is coming. You know what? Because we were there. Do you know, it was when we came out of the church, I realized the thing was not underground. I'm not joking. God is my witness. I climbed up to the place. It was top floor of a building like we are in right now. But throughout the whole service, I thought we were actually underground. It was when we came and said, wait. This is actually on top. I forgot. Why? The walls were all red and black. The lights were all dim. That is, you can't see. Look, a man can be here and his wife is next door. They won't. None of them will know that they are both in the nightclub. Listen, that's what Paul was talking about. His evil spirit. You know, saying, look, no, I just went there. All I was drinking was Coke. You are drinking the Coke unto Satan. Alcohol will connect you faster, I know. But now, you know, I'm serious. If people understood, look, spiritual things are almost scientific. You can draw the pattern, you see. Solomon explained how he learned how to stimulate his body with wine. When, was it Elisha, wanted to hear from God, he said, bring me a minstrel. Let him stream some kind of music for me. It will resonate one kind, my spirit will open. I will see what God is telling me. And if he was a demon worshiper and wanted to hear what Satan is saying, it's the same principle, I'm telling you. He will take the same music, stream in the same manner, but his own spirit will open in a different direction. I'm serious. So what was Paul explaining here? He was saying that he was talking about communion, participating. Yes, we know an idol is nothing. But when they gather, and Christians should be careful. When some of your village practices, be careful. All right? You have to be careful. Some of the New Yam festivals, be careful. Are you hearing my point? Yeah, be very careful. If you want to do Yam festival, go carry it to church. I like the Christians have done their own. It's called harvest and thanksgiving. You worship the Lord properly. You want you are doing and tying, killing goats. I know they do. Believers, please be careful. I know you are a man of God, but please be careful. Yes, those are the things we are saying. We just have to be very careful that we don't participate, because what is under such atmosphere, Paul said that what we are doing is that we are drinking of the cup of demons. And we are partaking of the table of demons. I hope you get the point. All right. Now, let's go on. It's still in continuation. Now, if you remember everything we have been saying, I'm going to verse 23 now. I've explained that one of the things that Paul has been explaining all this while is to first explain that some things, one wants to talk about the legality of them. It may appear as if they are legal. Are you getting me? But now talk about, they said that everything in life, you look at it on two levels. One, the legality thereof, and number two, the expediency attached to it. So everything he will say, look, I know this is right, but then it's not always helpful. So it's more important to check what is helpful than that which is correct. So he said in verse 23, all things are lawful. Now when you see words like all things, that's why we are doing this school of Bible exegesis. So people will see what we are talking about, what the Bible means. When you see the word all things, he doesn't mean all things as in everything on the earth. Now, I'm bringing up something. He's talking about all these things we have been talking about. I hope you're getting my point. You know, they always have a reference. They have boundaries. Do you get my point? He doesn't say that, okay, go and convert your neighbor's wife. It's lawful. It's not lawful. Do you follow my point? It is not. He has described many things here. For example, he talked about, number one, he has a right to support by the people he's ministering to. People have rights to marry if they want to marry. You can eat anything you want if you want to eat. It depends. You know, he was talking about when food, it depends on that this food is unclean. He said, forget all of those things. He described different things. At the end of the day, he now said, all things. Now, it's all these things he's been talking about as the all things. You get my point? If you want to know something is not lawful, go and take your neighbor's car. When you land in jail, you will know that it's not really love. So please, I want you to get that word, all things. Because sometimes I've heard somebody preach before and say that the Bible says that this is supposed to be throughout your generations. I said, when he said throughout the generations, I don't think he's saying that for all time and eternity. Because he was speaking to Jews and he was speaking under a covenant. As long as that covenant stands, fine, all the generations are affected. Once the generation ends, forever ends, as far as that thing is concerned. Are you getting my point? That's why we have to do some of these things we are doing, to explain the principle of biblical interpretation. He just said all things are lawful, therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's good or bad, it's lawful. You know, you go and convert your neighbor, God is the one that will kill you personally, you know, when you convert your neighbor's wife. I'm telling you the truth. But you understand the concept I want to say now. So all these things we have been saying, yes, they are lawful, but we are more concerned about what is profitable. He said, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. He said, now, let no one seek his own good. These are, you know, things that are good. Things that edify. If your heart is towards seeking the good of your neighbor, that's verse 24, then you will be less concerned about what is lawful. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, you've heard me quote this in several times. I read it in a book. I think it's Dale Carnegie, one of those books. The man said that, talking about a man who died in a grave, what was written on the tombstone of a man who was dead. He said, here lies Mr. Smith, who died maintaining his right of way. He was right, dead right, as he sped along the express road. But he's just as dead as if he were wrong. You get my point? You are driving, they say, no, it is give way to traffic on your left. That truck is supposed to give way to me because I am on the left. Fine. So you keep going. The truck too keeps going. Next thing here is Boza. Say, look at this man. Here I am bleeding to death. I was right, too. I was right. That's the one that happened to me the other day. I was on the express road. You go and check my car. It's dented at the back. It was a truck, not a 911. 911 is small. Those huge ones was the one that flung me out of the way. So my friend, come over there. What happened? I was going to Oka. You know, the road is dual carriage. Two lanes on that side, two lanes on this side. Now, the trucks decided to abandon their own lane and come to our lane. No problem. So we gave them one lane and we stood on one lane. On top of that, this truck decided overtaking on the only lane left for those of us going in the righteous direction. At that point, out of frustration, I stopped. Like, what is going on here? I just slowed down. I wasn't harassing the man. I slowed down. Like, maybe he wants to go back now that he sees that cars are coming. To my surprise and amazement, the guy kept coming. Now, when the thing was just a few meters away, I realized this guy is not planning to stop. No, this one that carried Malu from the north. Those heavy trucks. Oh boy, last moment, now I turned my hand, hit my pedal, swung out of the way. Wow, the guy hit me at the back. As I turned like this, he just jammed my back. That is, if I stayed there, the Lord would have been good forever. And the boss behind me, who decided to go and pass that place, made it even difficult for me to run because now my right was blocked. Here was a truck right in front of me. On the left side is another truck going. So I managed to squeeze. Of course, I pushed the boss with my front a bit. Get out of the way, my friend. This is, I want to die. I have wife and four children. Easy. I jammed the bus more for this side. The truck gave me wham for back. I stopped, turned around, and chased him down. I went up front, looking in my mirror to be sure he's planning to stop this time around. Oh boy, stop! The interesting part, the guy came down. He came, look at the back of the car. There were three men in the car, truck. Ah! He said, this is your car, is strong. You see, you know, in fact, I really don't like all these Japanese cars much. Now, just the truth is that a man should drive a German car. It's a BMW, honestly. If he were not, the guy look, even me, do you know when I checked the back side he hit? I had to check the other side and come back. I wasn't sure. Is this side this man hit? You should have heard the impact. It's a truck. He said, okay, you're a very good driver. The way you maneuver that thing, we just thank God. He now said something. He said, now brake fail. He said, oh God, I beg. Next time you see a truck like this, may you the wrong come off a road. Sometimes the brakes are not good. he wasn't quarreling with me. Why were you doing that? No. They eventually were processing, oh God, we are sorry. He dipped his hand in his pocket,
brought out a bundle of notes and said, okay, let us calculate how much it will cost to buy the light that is broken and do the body work. So I phoned the guy who sells me parts. He told me how much it costs. In fact, I put the phone on speaker so that he can hear that I'm not trying to deceive him. So he said, okay, he said, fine. That's for the light. He said, what about the body? I said, don't worry. You fix the light, I'll fix the body. So I wanted to give him money for the light. You know, all I was thinking is that, let me just take this as a sacrifice unto the Lord. I told the guy, don't worry. They proceeded again, thanked me very well, and we waved each other bye-bye. All things are lawful, bros. Not all things are expedient. That day I learned a lesson. The guy said, okay, when you see trucks like this, maybe they clear for road. You see, they know they get breaks sometimes. He told me honestly. You get my point. Here lies Mr. Smith, who died maintaining his right of way. He was right, dead right, as he stood in front of the truck on the express road. But he's just as dead as if he were wrong. You understand the point? All right. So that's what Paul was talking about. All right. It's not just about what is lawful. It is more profitable when you see a truck coming, clear over to the other side, all right, and wait for him to pass with his madness. It's your way, we know. But he won't stay there forever. You just suppress it for 1 minute. Even Jesus said that when the Roman soldier said, go within 1 mile, go with him too. What's the why cause for it? What it means is that when these guys are going, sometimes they are carrying, of course, their armor. Say, you carry my loot for me. Waka, follow me, go old pack. Say, not only old pack. You don't go to Jokunan. All right, the Lord is good. All right. So he said, let no one seek his own good but that of his neighbor. He's connecting this thing to what was said in chapter 8 earlier. Eat anything that is sold. Notice this. Now, eat anything that is sold in the meat market without asking questions for conscience sake. He said, for the earth is the Lord's and all it contains. If one of the unbelievers invites you and you wish to go, eat anything that is set before you, all right, without asking questions for conscience sake. But if anyone, this is just a continuation of what we talked about in Romans in chapter 8, in that 1 Corinthians chapter 8. But if anyone should say to you, that is a Christian, now this is meat sacrificed to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who informed you and for conscience sake. I mean not your own conscience, but the other man's. For why is my freedom judged by another man's conscience, you will say? If I partake with thanks, now you must understand when Paul is asking questions. Now this is a question. Like, imagine that you are giving him back questions. He said, why is my freedom judged by another man's conscience? If I partake with thankfulness, why am I slandered concerning that for which I give thanks? That is, once I give thanks, it is clean. He said, whether then you eat or drink, this is an answer now, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Do you understand that? So that what he was trying to say is that, listen, what we are trying to do is to give God glory and not offend the conscience of people unnecessarily, even though it is right. Do you understand? But then he gave a context here. Once food is set before you, come and eat, there's no problem. You know, that's why I said then, people say that, is Islamic this thing? They are serving meat. You know, what the Muslims used to do, they will serve the meat around to their neighbors. So I said, no, it's meat that has been sacrificed to Allah. A Christian shouldn't eat it. Well, I'll tell you my opinion since you want to hear it. It's meat you brought to my house. A Christian should eat it too. I receive it with thanksgiving. That's my own. I chop it properly. I'm not there. We didn't all agree. We didn't do Allahu Akbar before we killed the meat. That is the one pause I shouldn't do. But you brought the meat and you brought it to my house. I will thank God for your life. Bless you. In fact, pray that there will be more people who remember me on such days. And really, there's no problem with that, really. You know, I said something to you. I don't know about the Eastern Nigeria, but in Western Nigeria, this is a matter of fact. And of course, I don't have to tell you that the Northern Nigeria is like that. Almost all public abattoirs have, imams there. Because a Muslim can't eat meat that he did not slaughter after saying Allahu Akbar, saying their prayers. When some Christians hear this, they don't buy meat from market again. I don't know, like I said, I don't know whether it's like that, because here there are very few Muslims in town here. But if you get to Lagos, in fact, virtually every part of Western Nigeria, the split is almost 50-50. All right? That's Muslims and Christians. All right? That's just a split. So, a lot, people say that Christians, you have been oppressed. What is, you know, sometimes Christians, they can't fight unnecessary things. You now go and carry placard. no more Allahu Akbar on public meet. We are not all Muslims. Listen, it's ignorance. You want to do Allahu Akbar? Any other thing? Have you finished? Now kill the goat and start serving. All this one. Do you get what? It really doesn't mean anything. That's what Paul is explaining. So that's what it means, that when you go to the market, anything sold in the meat market, don't even ask questions. Just buy. Was this one killed in a Christian abattoir or or in a public one? It's not necessary. Is it meat? That's the only question you ask. This one, meat? Yes. Collect and eat and go away. All right? Now, verse 32. This is summary. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks, that's standing for Gentiles, or to the church of God. He said, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved. And the next line, which is actually being chapter 10, the next line says, he says, look, let's read 32, 33 again. He said, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, that they may be saved, be imitators of me, just I am also of Christ. That's actually the concluding part of that line. Now, for those of us who don't understand, let me just explain this. You'll be amazed, a lot of people don't know these things. When Paul wrote the letter, he didn't have chapters, he didn't have verses. It was just Paul, an apostle, to the church at Corinth. Greetings, grace to you, all those greetings. And then, to make it worse, Greek language does not have paragraph. To even make it worse still, they don't have punctuation marks. There's no comma, there's no full stop. Greek man begins to write, he writes non-stop. That is, if this were Greek, there's no... You have to read it in context to know the point he's trying to make. I hope you're getting the point. You have to read it in context to be able to understand what this man is trying to say. So that's why you find different translations of the Bible. The reason is because... I mean, you've heard me say things, some of that. I tell you, look, I've read many translations, but my understanding of spiritual things means that Paul could not have said it like this. Sometimes people insert quotes where there are no quotes. You know, they put punctuations where my understanding is that there should not have been a punctuation. Do you understand? Let me give you an example. You know, like the one we're talking about now. I said that, for why is my freedom judged by another's conscience? If you see, if you read it in Greek, there's no break. Just continues talking. It's when you have read it in context, you're like, no, he's saying that somebody could say this now. Do you get my point? That's the problem with Greek sometimes, the way it's written. No punctuations here and there. They just keep writing. So it's when the translators are translating, they will study and check, read it in context, and then in trying to pass the mind over to English language, you have to put punctuations. That's why you might read different translations, you'll see there are punctuations in different places. Like the Bible I have here, New American Standard, the particular one I'm reading right now is arranged in paragraphs. And you see, if you read that 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it's on its own line. Alright? They had to put it under chapter 11. But it didn't belong with the rest of the paragraph. So just on its own line. Before you now went to the next discussion. So if we had to rearrange this, actually what it should be is, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many that they may be saved, be imitators of me, just as I am also of Christ. That is, I've shown you an example of how I live, and I'm telling you to do exactly what I'm doing. And I'm doing that because I am imitating Christ, who came to bless people, to save them, and not to please himself. You understand the concept? All right. Now, I've not finished with that chapter 10. I want to explain something here. I first read this from E.W. Kenyon, and it's been a blessing to me since, and I've used it to help people. Verse 32 says, give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or Gentiles. To Greeks, standing for Gentiles, or to the church of God. Now, Kenyon said that this is God's ethnic division of man. That as far as God is concerned, people are in three groups. Where are you from? You are either a Jew or a Gentile, or you are a church of God. Do you get my point? That is, Jews are one group, the rest of the nations are one group, and then different from these two groups is a group called the church of God. Do you understand? You know, I've said it again and again, people should be careful when they are making judgments in life. You know, marriage is an interesting thing. I was very happy. Now, it's not as if it's wrong, all right? But for certain reasons, I was very happy that my wife is not from... I didn't plan it. It just happened. If she was from the next house, I would have married her anyway. It doesn't matter. Do you get my point? But it's just so good that my wife is from Delta State. Because it helps me make a point when I need to talk. Sometimes, even when we go for seminars, people ask questions, and you have to answer them, all right? Now, it's... I said that you be careful when you are doing things. There are things we do, and it becomes fellowshipping with idols. Do you get what I'm saying? Like now, where do you want to marry from? Ah, we can't in our place. No, we can't marry from here. Now, what you have said is that when we are putting down the ethnic divisions of man, as far as God is concerned, I am not in the church of God. I am amongst the Gentiles. Because within the group of Gentiles, we now have the subdivisions. Do you understand the point? Yes. That's what you are saying in effect. If you say, I'm from so-and-so state now. We don't marry from this area. Once you say we, you have become one of the nations. You have confessed with your mouth that I'm amongst the nations. I am not in the church of God. You are getting my point. Let me explain to you. Jews, they had their own laws then. You don't just go and marry anyhow. You can only marry within the tribes of Israel. You understand? And then there was where their inheritance even went because the land couldn't cross. Let me give you an example. If a man died, had only daughters, you share the land to the daughters. She forfeits her land if she marries from outside the tribe. Simple. Simple reason being that because you will have lost some of the land mass in one tribe and given to another tribe. So if she's going to move to another tribe, maybe her husband comes from, maybe she's from the tribe of Judah and she wants to marry somebody who's from, maybe it's Zebulun or Ephrata, whatever it is, whatever group he came from, you don't want the land to shift. So once she marries, she leaves the land behind, gives over to maybe her cousin or something. She's lost it. Now, the laws are very strict, okay? You didn't just marry anyhow. One of the problems that Solomon had was that he married strange women, what the Bible calls strange women. That where are these people from? So that's it. Jews, Gentiles also, they had their own subdivisions, of course, as you know. We can easily understand. Now, take our own locality. Our nation now, Nigeria, here, that we are. Of course, there are different people. Somebody will tell you that. My father said, I can marry anybody from anywhere, but don't marry Yoruba. One sister told me that. He wasn't telling me, we were just talking, we were discussing marriage. I was in church here. And I said, oh God. So if you were supposed to marry a pastor banking, I saw you for just miss like this. You get the point I'm making. I mean, you can imagine that my wife said that my father said, I can never marry from Ondo State. I said, sorry, yo. This glorious man. This choice. You know, men like me, there's of the 6 billion people on the earth, only this one day. You will let some ungodly prejudice God deny you this miracle. No, really. You know, I was listening to TG Jakes. My wife and I were listening to TG Jakes last night. And he said that when God brought manna from heaven, you know the meaning of the word manna? Yes, it's the Hausa is menini. In fact, that's how you know the Hausa language must be close to the Jewish language. And the Jewish man says manna. The Hausa man says menini. It's still the same money. You know what I'm saying? M and N. Is still the same? In fact, the M is one and the N two. In Hausa, it's menini. It's NN two. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It just means what is this? Like, now, waiting with this one. Sure. Which ones? You know? If you say, now, worry man, receive that blessing. Say, sure. Which ones? That's what he got for receive up. So, T.D. Jake said that. Well, that's how the blessing of God are. You pray for something, pray. When God delivers it, you don't even recognize it. You say, what is this? But you prayed now. You ask God for a rich, handsome, successful man. And I brought him. You know you can't see him. He said, Lord, you can't be serious about that. He doesn't have a car. But you didn't say, you say you wanted a rich, successful man. Not before you talk. He didn't see her now. He said, God, what is this? So, it was TDJ saying yesterday night, I was watching him on TV. It was interesting. People just look at that is the very answer to your prayers. And you look and say, what is going on here? Now, a lot of Christians, that's what happens to them.